Genesis 35, the message tonight is about the prayerlessness and godlessness of Jacob's children. There are exceptions, but we will see. Genesis 35, verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God, who appeared unto you when you fled from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, Put away the foreign gods that are among you, and purify yourselves, and change your garments, and let us arise, and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands, and the rings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. That's all we will read for now. But listen to those words very carefully at verse 2. Look at it again. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, Put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves, and change your garments. It means this. And here is something that is a challenge for all of us that have families or those that are our responsibility. Not to tolerate that which is dishonoring to our God. Do you understand what's happening here? Jacob knew that in his family there were false gods. His own wife had a false god. She stole that god from her father, Laban. But there was not just one, but the whole family was filled with false gods and also with charms and amulets. And they had these earrings and these other charms. They were the ward of bad luck. And finally, Jacob gets the courage to say, This is the end. And what happens is this. When a man has the God-given courage to take a stand for God, God enables him to influence those that before paid no attention to him. I've seen it so often, those who are men and women of God, that they have no influence on their children. This is one of the saddest things that has ever happened. Here in Goldsboro, where all the children are us who are children of God. This is so sad. And when, during our lifetime, did we say there will be no false God, this is going to be done? And what happens is that we are mediocre in our devotion to God, and we have no strength and no determination that God's will is going to be done. This is what Joshua said, As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And that's what he did. And after all these years, God speaks to Jacob. And Jacob says, I am clearing my house of all false gods and all that is contrary to the true God of Israel. And notice what happens. They do just what we told them to do, and look at the people round about, verse 5. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Think of that. Here is one who has determination to take a stand for God throughout his whole family, and instead of weakening him, God strengthens him, and his family obeys him, and the people that are around about that could have destroyed him, God influences them in such a way that he travels safely
and nobody lays a hand on it. Let me tell you this. I remember many years back, there was a situation where a man in his own home was compromising with morality by someone else being in the home. And when I went and spoke to this individual, the answer was this: if I did anything about it, it would break up my household. And so nothing was done about it. And thinking that if he did something about it, it would break up his household, doing nothing about it did break up his household. And so if my household is going to be broken up, let it be because I take a stand for God. And if you take that stand for God, you will be amazed at the influence that it has upon those that look upon you. Because suddenly they say this: where did this man get this strength? Where did my father, my mother, where did this one that is over me get the strength to stand for God? So I'm telling you this because afterwards, this is what we learn about the children of Jacob. Now look at chapter 37. I want you to see this. Verse 2, 37:2. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and he was a lad with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Bilhah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought the evil report of them unto their father. And so if you look at the 12 sons of Jacob, the only one of the 12, because Benjamin is not yet in the picture, he seems to be neutral, but when you look at all of these other sons, they are godless and they are prayerless individuals. You see, I'm supposed to be talking to you all about prayer, and that's what I'm doing tonight. I'm talking to you about the missing prayer in the children of Jacob. What is so good is this. We look at Abraham, and he was a man of prayer. We look at Isaac, and he was a man of prayer. We look at Jacob, and he was a man of prayer. I told you about them last week. It blessed my own heart to see each one having specific times in his life when he prayed to God, and God answered those prayers. But I need help, because I've read again and again and again the account of Jacob's sons, and I've never found one prayer that they ever offered to God. It could be that they did, but they are minor characters, and so God did not put it in. But I'm thinking that if there were something as noble as a prayer, then God would have included it in his word. And so isn't that sad that we criticize Jacob as being a charlatan, as one that grasps, the one that's filled with greed and deceit, and yet God records one prayer after another that Jacob offered unto his God. But you read concerning the lives of Jacob's children, and not one of them ever offered a prayer unto God. In fact, I had to search hard to even find them mention the name of God. And I want to show you this. Turn, first of all, to chapter 42. 42, and look at verse 21. And they said one to another, these are Jacob's, Joseph's brothers. They are down in Egypt, and now they are confronted with a crisis that they can't control. Verse 21. And they said one to another, we are very guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the distress of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child? And you would not hear. Therefore also, behold, his blood is required. God's name isn't mentioned. But
This is chapter 44. We're going to finally see a mention of the name of God. Verse 14. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, and he was yet there. And they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, What deed is this that you have done? Know ye not that I am such a man as can divine? And Judah said, What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servant. Behold, we are my Lord's bondmen, both we and he also in whose hand the cup is found. Think of that. Isn't that a terrible thing? That the only time you think about God is when you think of a sin that you committed in the past, and suddenly judgment has fallen upon you, and you speak of it indirectly at first, but then when it comes upon you so strongly, you say, God has brought upon us the judgment of our iniquity. Think of this relationship with God. That God is not one who preserves you, who has mercy upon you, who upholds you, but God is simply one who is looking upon you as you live your life of godlessness and prayerlessness and your life of sin, and then when your sin finds you out, you say, God has caught up with me. How terrible to have that relationship to God. To know that there is a God, but you're not familiar with him, you can't speak to him in prayer, but you know that there is a God and he's watching over you, and that whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap, in a bad way as well as in a good way. Now I want to show you one other time they use the name of God, and so look at verse in chapter 50. And this is what makes me so ashamed of them. In chapter 50, they use the name of God once, not in prayer, but the God of retribution. And now let's see how they use it again. Verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, It may be that Joseph will hate us and will fully requite us of all the evil which we did unto him. And so they're going to concoct this story to escape the judgment of Joseph. And they sent a message unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall you say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the transgression of thy brethren and their sin, for that they did evil unto thee. And now we pray thee, forgive the transgression of the servant of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept. Isn't this interesting? They bring in the name of God, that they do not cry unto God, but they say, The God of your father, he told us to tell you to forgive us for the things that we've done. You never read that anywhere in the Bible. What it was is that they saw and they said God had visited us once for what we did wrong, and now the only reason that Joseph hasn't destroyed us is because our father was living, and if he did it then, our father would not allow him to do it. But now our father's dead. He's going to take vengeance on us immediately. And so they go and concoct this story that their father said, Have mercy. And that they insert this word the second time, Forgive the transgression of the servant of the God of thy father. And what is so sad is that, look down at the next verse, verse 18, And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we are thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? Now, turn back to chapter 42. I want you to see this verse, 42. And look at verse I'll tell it to you. It doesn't come to mind right now. It is this. When Jacob hears that they have gone down to Egypt, and Joseph has kept Simeon as a captive, and he said, I'm not going to let Simeon go until you return home and bring down this other brother, you say, is your father's youngest. If you bring him down, then I will let you go, and I will know that you are true men. He said, but if not, he will be kept in bondage. And so when Jacob is told of this, Jacob says, and let me give it to you, I'm going to try one more time. No, it doesn't come to mind yet. But this is what Jacob says. He says, all these things are against me. When his son is taken, when they go down into Egypt, and then when they say again, you have to take Benjamin down, the youngest son that he loved so much. You see, he only had two children by the wife that he loved the most. It was Rachel and Leah, and Rachel was the one that he loved more than all his wives, and Rachel bore him Joseph and Benjamin. And so now they want to take Benjamin away. And when Jacob hears of all these troubles, he says, all these things are against me. Now, turn to chapter 50. I want you to see this. Look at verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? And as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little one. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And now, let's look again. Chapter 45. You see, their attitude is one thing. And in chapter 45, let's see what the brethren say. Verse 3. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. They didn't know who he was, but he makes himself known, and he says, I am Joseph. But my father yet lived, and his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. And now be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and there are yet 5 years, in which there shall be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you, a remnant of the earth, and to save you alive by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father unto Pharaoh. Verse 9. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Now, you see one whose life is filled with God, and one whose life God fills, because here he sees that God is working all things together for good, but his brethren look upon the situation, and they say that it's the judgment of God, and Jacob, if I could find that place, he says, all these things are against me, but Joseph, his son, whose life is full of God, he understands the working of God. All right, since he does see these workings of God, I want you to see how God is with you. Turn now to verse chapter 41, and let's look at 50.
Now, in verse 50, Joseph is finally exalted, given a wife, and let's see how he thinks. Verse 50, 41:50. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the year of the famine came, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the first Manasseh, for he said, God hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Think of that lesson. Here is one who's been sold into slavery, abandoned. It seems as if God has deserted him, but he says, no, God has blessed me, and by giving me my firstborn, Manasseh, God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. He knows how to cast his burden upon the Lord. And look at verse 52. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. So here is Joseph, and no matter what happens to him, we see that God is in it, and with God being in it, all is well. Now, let's look at in chapter 39. And look at verse 1. When Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, felt him of the hand of the Ishmaelites that had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper. Verse 4. And Joseph found favor in his sight, and he ministered unto him. No matter what happened, look at chapter 39, verse 21. Joseph has been lied about by Potiphar's wife, and he's in prison now, and says in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed kindness unto him, and was in favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And look at verse 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and all that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. I told you that Joseph's life was full of God, and God filled his life. Whenever an occurrence happens, Joseph mentions the name of God. When Pharaoh's dream is to be interpreted, Pharaoh says to him, I hear that you can interpret dreams. He said, it's not of me, it's of God. God is the only one who can do these things. And this is one thing that I was disappointed about, that even though his life is so filled with God, and even so often he mentions God, God has not recorded for us a specific prayer that he offered unto God. But I have no doubt that for all those years that he was a slave, and then, after it seemed as if he were going to be delivered, there were two more years that he had to spend in prison. It doesn't tell us one prayer that he ever prayed. Now, I know that God is with him for this reason, and he has his mind on God. Look at chapter 39. I want you to see this. Joseph has been such a faithful servant that Potiphar has put everything into his hand. He doesn't know anything that's going on. But the bad thing is that Potiphar has a wife, and she has her eyes set on him. Look at verse 10. And it came to pass, as this other man's wife spoke to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her, to lie by her, or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time, that he went into the house to do his work, and there was none of his men of the house within. And she caught him by the garment, saying, lie with me. And he escaped, he runs for his life. Look at verse 8. Here is when it first happened. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master knoweth not what is with me in the house, and he hath put all that he hath in my hand.
He is not greater in this house than I am, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now that is what will empower a man not to sin. It's bad enough that you are my friend and I love you and I don't want to hurt you, but that will not keep me from sinning against you. Now, if God is brought into the picture, and I know that if I sin against you, I will also sin against God, then that is a power that restrains us from evil. And no matter what happened to Joseph, he did not blame God, but he saw the working of the hand of God. And only a man who meditates, only a man who is constantly in the presence of God, can ever have that attitude when so many bad things happen unto him. Now, I want you to see this. I told you about the evil report, and it's so bad. Turn to chapter 49, chapter 49. Because I told you that Joseph was a man of God, and God filled his life. And I told you that his brothers were godless and prayerless individuals. And when they sell him into Egypt as a slave, first of all, they wanted to kill him. But then they decided that they would sell him and make profit. And let's see something that their own father says just before he died. 49 verse 1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the latter days. Assemble yourselves and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the preeminence of dignity and the preeminence of power. Boiling over is water, thou shalt not have the preeminence, because you went up to thy father's bed. You defiled it. He went up to my couch. He has to say, just before he died, that my son is guilty of incest. Now look at chapter, verse 5. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Weapons of violence are their swords. O my soul, come not thou into their council, unto their assembly my glory. Be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they hopped an ox. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. Now isn't the sad thing when your father, think now of your father and your mother while they're alive, and just before they die, they think back over your life, and they have to think of such things as these. How heartbreaking. And what happened was this, that what they did in their youth affected them and their offspring in generations to come. And so this is the blessing that Jacob has for his children. But God withheld blessing from some of them. But let me give you this consolation. Look concerning Judah. Look at verse 8. Judah was bad. Judah was a whoremonger, and he was a hypocrite. You'll find that in chapter 38. But in spite of that, let's see what happens. I'm going to show you the speech that he made that Benjamin might be delivered. But I'll just read you this, verse 8, to show how he changed in his old age. Judah, we shall thy brethren praise. Thy hand shall be on the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's son shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched to the lion, and was a lioness. Who shall rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the obedience of the peoples be. And so forth. So this is a consolation that some things that our children do, they are never to be forgotten, and they influence their lives and the lives of their offspring. But others do wickedly, and yet because of some heroic good thing they do, it is changed. And so that's what we hope. We hope that all of us shall have strength as Jacob did to say, there shall be no more idols in my household. You're going to purify yourselves and you're going to serve God. I demand that. And when he demanded it, they did it. We hope that that is what will happen, rather than being parents that tolerate it and never say anything. One of the saddest things about Adonijah, who was David's son, he tried to usurp the throne from Solomon. It almost cost him his life. But what it says is this, that when Solomon was the one that was intended to be king, Adonijah said, I'm going to be king. And it says that all of these things that he did were because of this. David, Adonijah's father, had never said no to his son. He had never crossed him. He had never stopped any of the desires of his heart. And therefore, since I want to be king, and my father has never restrained me in the past, there is no reason that I should be restrained now. And it says that David had never said a cross word to his son. And so you fathers and mothers, it is not too late. You had better say many stern words and restraining words to your children. Because if not, it could cost them their lives, or it could cost them a life of misery. Now time is gone. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you shall deliver us from having godless and prayerless children. We are glad that whereas some of Jacob's children started out badly, in the end, they improved and you had good things to say. We were so glad that there was Benjamin, and especially that there was Joseph. So our God, let not our children disappoint us completely. Let something good come out of it. And it's all of thee. So give us courage to do what we should do. And let us live examples before them, so that in their old age and in our old age, our children cannot look and say and speak of the weakness and of the tolerance of our parents, of the evil and godless things we wanted to do. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.